Jen. She's Lex, and we are the Blachelorettes. On this week's episode, we are continuing the travesty, I mean the greatness, that is Love is Blind Season 2, by covering Episode 3. And then after that, we'll go into what's happening with Joe Millionaire, your emails about Love is Blind, and a bit of Batch Nation news. So I guess my intro kind of tells you exactly how I'm feeling about the season so far, right?
I have been saying Love is Blind, but the producers are not.
Yeah.
Because some things just don't make, and obviously the contestants are not either. No, none of these people are blind.
Listen, there's some stuff happening here. I don't know what's going on. We left off our coverage at the end of episode 2, which is when Nick proposes to Shayna and Shane proposes to Natalie. And we're just at a point where things are very tense because Sal also played the ukulele from Mallory. Yeah, so that was episode 2. So then episode 3 kind of starts at that point again.
Okay, so episode 2 ends with Shayna telling Shane she has feelings for him. But you talked about the first 5 minutes of episode 3 where Shane was like, what the fuck? So he was like, no, I'm gonna still propose to Natalie. And he proposes to Natalie. And they agree to keep it private that she went to him after she got engaged to Kyle. It's a mess. So it starts a mess.
Like, it's already a mess. I'm just like, I don't even know what's happening anymore. Because I don't think that's something that should be kept private. I think that's something that obviously just proves that Shane and Kyle don't like each other. Because I feel like if I'm sharing this space with you for this time, for Shane, not Shayna, because we know Shayna doesn't like him at all. But if you and I are sharing this space as bros and we're dating the same woman, I don't even know what Kyle knew or didn't know about Shane at this point. But I feel this is something that you would tell in the house. And this is very relevant going forward when you realize how gossipy these dudes are. They are so gossipy. So it is a surprise to me that they did not say anything to anybody in the house about what the hell was going on sometimes.
Girl, me too. But I have a feeling we will probably get there. I don't know. Because Shayna is kind of messy. I'm not going to lie. Like, she, to me, clearly just does not like this mess.
Messica 2.0, like, oh, this all this is.
She's just like, TV, I'm gonna be on TV. That's the vibe I get from her.
Yeah, so like in the first 5 minutes of episode 3, that's what we cover. The Shayna, Kyle, Natalie love square that's now just running parallel to each other. Shayna's engaged to Kyle. Kyle's blissed out about it. Shayna's And Natalie and Shane are engaged and Natalie's excited. And I'm going to make a reference to something that was said later on that we're not covering on this episode. But there is a point where Ayana says that what the Shane was to the guys, Natalie was to the girls. Mm-hmm. And because all this time I've been wondering how the hell they really go together. And I still wonder that up until the very end of where we're at right now with the airings.
But that was eye opening. I was like, oh, still, I don't think she's as bad as Shane is. He's just a special human being.
Like, yeah, I don't think she's as bad, but the fact that Ayana thought that, I was like, oh, got it. Okay, that's right.
Yes, that makes sense. Okay, so after he proposes to Natalie, and he gives like a super generic proposal, in my opinion. It's just, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Do you want to marry me? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, oh, no, girl, this is the worst. Anyway. So after that, we see Jarrett and Mallory. So Jarrett gets some tacos from Mallory. Apparently it's Taco Tuesday. I'm like, oh my God, this is so
cute. Oh wait, not yet. We don't get there yet. Sal and Jarrett have a conversation in the house first.
Oh, I don't think I even wrote that down because I was like,
yeah. So because Sal and Jarrett are both into Mallory. So Sal knows that, Jarrett knows that. They're both dating the same person and they agree. Mallory has a choice in this scenario. If they're both into her, Mallory is the one who will choose who is what. And that's important going forward. That's why I said, let me just cut you right there, because that's important. The guys have already talked about this and they've been like, yeah, it doesn't really matter how we feel. Mallory is the one who has the ultimate decision. And I thought it was very interesting because Jarrett, we've seen going back and forth between Mallory and Ayana. And it was like, huh, why are you talking to Sal about Mallory? What's going to happen here? This is weird. And Sal's talking about how this has opened him up. This has broken him open in different ways. And We find out, I think later on that episode or the next episode, that it was actually on the anniversary of Jarrett's incident with the friend who stabbed him. And this conversation is even taking place. So that's relevant. Okay. Which then Jarrett sets up Taco Tuesday for him and Mallory because Mallory loves tacos. Continue.
Yes. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for the setup. All right. So then he's talking about how it just feels so right with her and he sees a future. He basically asks her if he were to propose to her, what would she say? And she just starts breaking down crying. And I'm like, is this, it's like happy music playing, but I'm like, this don't look like happy tears to me. So she starts saying all these nice things about him, but oh, they connect so well and they have a lot in common and but, and there's a big but, she has a better connection with someone else. And Jarrett just completely breaks down. I did feel for him because you can tell he was really feeling her. Like he was really feeling her. But they both just ended up crying. He puts a little like handkerchief thing over his head so I guess the cameras won't see him crying. I'm like, dude, just let the camera see you cry. Just let us see you cry. Crying is not just, it's not something that's so foreign that people don't do. Like everybody cries. Anyway, so he's just like really upset and leaves the room. And
well, because remember before he goes in the room, I'm so excited to propose to Mallory. Like he literally says he wants to propose to her and he's excited to do that. So this for him is completely out of left field. He's just, I knew she was dating Sal, but I was going to get engaged to her today. Like WTF, what do you mean? Yep. But yeah, lots of crying. And she actually asked him like, are you okay? And he was like, no. Exactly. And I looked at her like, girl, are you stupid? You just told this man that who you were bawling about this man. Why you think he's going to be okay on the other side of that wall? Why?
Exactly. A lot of people are like, are you okay? He's like, no, I'm not okay. Like, why would I be okay? And it's true. Why would he be okay? Like the person he thought he loved, or I guess that he loved, has a better connection with somebody else. Of course, he's not okay. So Mallory goes back to the women's quarters. Jarrett goes back to the men's quarters. Ayanna is the one who actually tries to comfort Mallory. And Mallory is just like, no, I need privacy. And then the men comfort Jarrett. And then one of these men is like, well, you still have a connection with Ayanna, right? And I'm like, dude, like, what the fuck? Just let him mourn this connection with Mallory.
I get it, though. I get it, though. Because what we find out in later in this episode, when he talks to Ayanna after the fact, is that every day he was going back and forth about who to pick. And he was having dates with both of them on the exact same day. So like he'd meet one like in the morning, one in the evening kind of thing. So literally it was pretty much like he was not able to make a choice. And he seemed to only make that choice that day that he was going to propose to Mallory.
But also it's like, for example, like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, just because somebody leaves that you have a connection with, nobody else is going up to that person and says, you still have three people left. But like that, I feel like that's a little insensitive because it's like, there's people left, but that doesn't negate the connection you had with that person at the end of the day. So that's why I was like, oh, why would you say that while he's crying over Mallory right now? Say that later. But it was like right as he was on the couch.
but he had already cried alone prior to that, though. It wasn't like that wasn't the first thing that was said to him. He had already been alone crying in the quarters before that. Like it wasn't like the dude just walked out to him as soon as he walked in and said it. It had already been a period of time, whether it was 5 minutes or an hour. I understand the point of view because he, at this point, if all the guys know he is torn between Ayanna and Mallory. And it's, you upset, but like, why are you acting like you're never going to find somebody when you got somebody? And you were just telling us about that somebody. Like, that's how I took it because this is one of the guys, what's his name? It's not the flight attendant dude. I think he's one of the ones who also got engaged in this, by the way. Yeah. But don't quote me on that. The one with the glasses.
I don't know if he had glasses, but he had like grayish white hair. And I think he also ended up in a couple, but they didn't show their journey.
Yeah, didn't show their journey. But it was like, I got it. I didn't feel like it was insensitive. I felt it was more insensitive of Mallory to ask Jarrett if he was okay than for the dude bro who probably knows all the nitty gritty to be like, I know that he says, you can tell me to fuck off right now. And he prefaced it by saying, hey, you can tell me to fuck off. You can tell me if I'm out of line. But everybody also knows you have this connection with Ayana and that she is only going for you. So do with that what you will. and then he got up and he walked away. And I was you're right, bro.
So I think he really didn't take it that way. Yeah, that happens. Jared's crying, bawling his eyes out. And then we see Natalie and Shane are preparing to meet. I don't know. What did you think of this, Jen? Because I was like, I'm not a Shane and Natalie fan. I'm not a Shane fan at all. Like, the man talks and I'm just like, can I cut my ears off, please? Because like, I don't want to hear him speak.
Well, the note that I have, Natalie and Shane meet, that's my note.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing exciting about this. She was nervous, but also, if you've seen the social media that Natalie has IBS, so having seen that, like her little clip about having IBS and then this whole thing with her nerves to meet Shane, I was like, is she going to shit her pants? That can happen. I was just wondering.
Yeah, that could happen. I just noted that he grimaces when he sees her. I don't know, it's for a second where his face is, and then he's like, okay. And I'm like, I kind of knew he would.
Yeah, there was no run jump towards each other.
No, it was awkward. They had a kind of awkward kiss. Did you notice like his hand? Like they're supposed to be kissing passionately and his hand went around her throat. And I was like, sir, what are you doing? And then he moved it quickly. Oh shit, that's not the time. It's not the time or place for that. So he gets on one knee.
Very weird.
It was very weird. Gets on one knee. He proposes. They go back to their section. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Anyway, so now Jared goes to talk to Ayana and he's like quiet and she's, what's going on? Like, why are you so low energy today? So he basically gives her the rundown, tells her he tentatively proposed to Mallory and she rejected him. And so they have this really tense conversation because Ayana was like, I was so sure about you days ago. Like, why would you do this? And so she asks, like, if Mallory said yes, would that have been all he needed to like get engaged to her? And he can't answer the question. And I was like, damn, this is not a great conversation, Jared. This does not make you look good.
Nope, it's not.
So
it absolutely does not. Because there's no way to spin that. There's no way to spin that. Like, you can't be like, I wasn't sure. It's because it's also more like hedging your bets. Because if she had said she was open to it, does that mean that he would have gone to Ayana later that same day and asked her the same question? And then plan the proposal afterwards.
That's a good question. Because I feel like he wouldn't have. I feel like he would have just went with it. Just been like, bet. And then broke up with Ayana after that. Like, I honestly feel like that's probably what would have happened. Because he never really... Because even in this conversation, he doesn't ask Ayana the question. He just says, I asked Mallory if she would ever think about getting engaged to me. And she said no. And I don't know. Maybe he didn't need to ask her the question because she had told him before, it's you. And he was like, between you and Mallory. So after this conversation, she walks out crying and I really felt for her. And she just has to take a moment on the carpet, like stooping down on the carpet. And just, I'm like, damn, really felt for her. Then we have Mallory and Sal. And he basically is like getting ready to propose. I don't remember how this proposal goes. I think you liked it.
Didn't we do the Shayna and Kyle meetup first?
No, that's after.
Really?
Because, at least according to my notes, it's like Sal proposes to Mallory and then Kyle and Shayna prepare to meet. And I have a whole section of notes for that.
Of course. Okay. So here's what I will say. Just Ayana does not deserve the shit that Jarrett put her through. Let's just put that out there straight up. She does not deserve it. And I think that if he had told Ayana prior to having the conversation with Mallory, the strength of his feelings, I think that's what it was. She was blindsided by how strong that relationship was that he even asked the question about possibly proposing. Because she said she knew he was talking to other people. But there's a difference between talking to other people and asking those other people, if I propose to you, would you say yes? Especially at this stage in the game. So fine. Sure. Whatever. Sal and Mallory, they have a very cute proposal. But that's just because Sal seems to have a way with words. I was surprised he didn't pop out the ukulele. I was a little mad he didn't pop out the ukulele that way.
Me too, but, actually. You know, I was very surprised.
I was just like, okay. But it was very sweet. He did say sweet things. And he was on one knee, like on the other side of the wall. Like he seems like a very sweet human. So I also felt as if it may have been, we all know this is heavily edited to a point. We don't know if he proposed to her like right after she broke things off with Jared, like 5 minutes later, or if it was the next day. We're not really sure on the time frame of that. But I found it interesting that she didn't really have a conversation with him about the fact that Jared proposed. She did say in her response to his proposal that she was running scared and that it feels so right between them. That's why I thought it was sweet, because she was like, I've been guarded and close off, but it feels so right with you. And I've been scared, but I feel like I'll be safe with you, which she would be, because Sal seems to be a safe dude. Yes, so that's why I thought his proposal was very sweet.
I did find it interesting that she didn't tell him about Jared either. But one thing that I didn't mention was that when Jared was like in the men's quarters crying and stuff, Sal, they cut to Sal and he had this little sly smile on his face. So I guess he heard too. I was like, oh shit, that's me.
I don't know. I thought that I saw that was editing, but I don't, Sal was talking to other people in that clip. So it wasn't just Sal nearby listening in. It was Sal at the table talking to people.
Yeah.
So I think they spliced it deliberately to make you think that it was like a villainous smirk. But I really think he was just talking to the guys and just having fun. And that probably was cut from a previous conversation.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I don't know. To me, it looked like he was looking over and was like, oh, shit. Okay. But it could have been that, too. It could have been that, too.
You don't actually see the setting. You just see the close-up of Sal's face. So you don't actually see the full room context. That's true.
It wasn't like a weird shot because it was like super zoomed in on his face.
Yeah.
So
it was like him looking like at the camera. Mm. Yeah. Him looking at the camera, not necessarily him looking at Jared. I want to take up for Sal because Sal seems okay. Even though he's a white person of color, he's still a person of color. You know what I'm saying? So.
And he's still a
He hasn't given me any reason to be bad.
Yeah, when he proposed to Mallory, I was like, oh, Sal proposed to Mallory instead of me. I'm happy, I guess. But Sal, if it doesn't work out, call your girl, okay? Anyway, so then we get to Kyle and Shayna preparing to meet. So they're both, like, pretty nervous about meeting up. I don't remember what they were saying exactly in their lead up, but it was, oh boy, here we go. What's gonna happen? And so they meet.
No, let me tell you, Shayna had to take shots before she went out there. And she was freaking out, like at the door, like she does not want to do this. And then Kyle at the same time is talking about how happy he is and how he can't wait to meet her and they're gonna figure everything out. And Kyle looks like he's on drugs. Like Kyle's on drugs at this point because it is obvious that the man is unbalanced. Like he's either on drugs or not on his drugs. Because even Shayna's response to his proposal, there was zero enthusiasm. She has shown zero enthusiasm that we have seen on camera for any conversation with anyone but Shane. And you want to tell me you were like, yeah, this is going to work. You as an atheist, and then we find out later on he's a vegetarian. Like you as an atheist vegetarian decided you're going to work with this like devout, like Christian head case. This is what you're going to do. Meat eater. And
they could not have been a worse match, in my opinion. So, like, when they meet, he obviously just, like, adores the fuck out of her. And she's so uncomfortable. I think she's just laughing. And I feel like she's laughing to cut the uncomfort. I guess she's relieved he's cute. But then I also don't think she's that attracted to him. He has some big ass ears. I have to say, I think they're cute.
It's because his head is small. It's not because his ears are too big. It's because his head is too small for his ears. But literally, my note says, Shayna and Kyle meet and she isn't attracted to him at all. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Like, nothing. Because he's not even that cute. Okay. He is not even that cute. Okay. He is not
I think he's
that
a little cutie. I think he's a little cutie. He got a good body. He works in construction. He's a man who works with his hands. Maybe that should be our poll. Do y'all think Kyle is cute or not?
Let's put it this way. I don't think Sal is that cute either. So,
what?
I think Shane has too. No, Sal is adorable, but not cute. Like, he's adorable to me like a puppy. Like, he's never someone that I would ever spread my legs for. It's just, yeah, can't do it. Can't do it. And it's not because his personality doesn't seem great, but even his personality is just not a match for me. Like Shane, I wouldn't even want to be in the same room as Shane. People are like, oh, but his body is so great. I'm like, look at his face. There's so many teeth in that mouth. What do you do? And then you find out later, like, that he, what was it? Because they met already. So when he's preparing to meet Natalie, he was like, oh yeah, like I wouldn't be with her if she had no front teeth, because like I spent so much money on my teeth. And I was like, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah, we can tell. Yeah. We can freaking tell. It's just, that's what they were saying. Natalie was like, oh yeah, like I won't care what he looks like because I love him. It'll be fine. And then Shane was just like, oh yeah, like I'm super into her no matter what she looks like, but if she has no teeth, it's a no-go for me. I'd run away and she would understand. And I was like, no. She would not understand.
I was like, yeah, I just don't like that man. But we totally agree on Shane. I would. He would not get a crumb of pussy from me. Mm-mm. I'm sorry. I'm not even sorry.
Listen, no, not sorry. He can't even see me fully dressed. Like, he can't even be in this. If he followed me on Instagram, I'd feel some type of way. I'd be like, what is making me attract these people? Like, someone send out a beacon to the Lord asking for me, because I don't know what's going on.
Force unfollow.
Right? Force unfollow. But yes, right. Back to Shayna and Kyle.
Kyle and
Shayna. Shayna into staying engaged to him.
Exactly. Because she is once again worried about their differences. For me, I'm just like, girl, if you're that scared, why did you say yes? If your differences mean that much to you, you could have just said no, and you could have found a Christian guy who believes the same shit as you, and you didn't. And it's just like, why are you compromising? If that is one of your things that you're really looking for, why are you compromising? Which to me, I think I realized that I don't think she actually has a problem with him being atheist. My theory is that I think she has feels a type of way about it because she's afraid of what other people will think. I feel like her family and her friends and everybody is just so shrouded in Christianity that for her, it's okay, I need to marry somebody Christian. And because he's not Christian, it's, but what will all my Christian family and friends think? Like, that's what I really think is at this at the end of the day. And also, she's not attracted to him. And she's like trying to make something work that she really just doesn't want to work.
Yeah, like that. The real issue is that she doesn't want the man. She don't want him. She does not want him at all. Even the conversation between them, she was not interested. She had no desire to this man. She only said yes because she was hoping that she and Shane could work it out. And so she could be like, oh, like I'm engaged to someone else. So like, you can't have me now. And Shane would have been like, all right, cool. Natalie and I are engaged too. Deuces. Like, I don't think she cares about Kyle at all. Not even, it's not even about the atheist business. Because that was already going to be a sticking point. And my thing is that you're going to marry an atheist when you are a creationist. You don't believe in evolution. Like,
exactly.
Why would you have said yes why would you have said yes? She was just saying yes to have someone to say yes to. Yeah. That's it.
And then for the other side, for Kyle, for me, it was like, why would you want to be with this person? I don't know. I see nothing. Maybe it's just the way this is edited, because I don't really see anything redeeming about Shayna. Like, I don't. And it's mostly because of her ITM suit. Obviously, she's not going to talk to Kyle like she's talking in her ITMs. But like, the whole time I'm like, why this man? Let me tell you, this man absolutely adores this woman. Absolutely. Like, he is so smitten. And I'm like, why? Why? What is it about her that has you just willing to just lay down and let her walk all over you? I just don't understand. Anyway, I need to meet a man like that, to be honest. Just let me walk all over you.
Let me walk all over you. Hilarious. So they meet. It goes badly. Kyle is just, well, are you willing to try it out with us? Are you willing to make it work? And she's, yeah. And then she takes more shots after she walks away.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is not good. There is... So
if there's a couple set for failure, it's them.
It's them. And don't worry, they will fail. We see it at the end of this episode. It's not a spoiler for us to tell you that. It's obvious it fails at the end of the episode. So then Mallory and Sal get to meet. And
oh, wait, no, we skip. It's Jarrett goes to talk to Ayana after that.
Oh, no, I want to save that because I want to put their meeting together with their thing.
Okay.
That's the reason why, cool. Just because I think that their meeting goes a lot better than anyone else.
Actually, yes, you can talk about Mallory and Sal.
Yeah. So Mallory and Sal are preparing to meet. They're both excited. And when the doors open and Mallory sees Sal, you can just see her heart drop. Because there is zero physical attraction to this man. Girl. Can I say zero? Zero. Like, Sal goes in for the kiss and she's just standing there. And then she tries to work her way into it. And it's just like, no. You can just tell immediately.
You can tell immediately. When I tell you body language does not lie on this woman, like, this woman cannot lie for shit. Because her body will tell you everything you need to know. Like, the doors open and she obviously cringes. Like, it's not even, she can't even hold it in. It's obviously like a cringe. Oh, shit. And so, yeah, they go to kiss and she doesn't even want to touch him. Like, her body is, girl, no. What are you doing? Stay away. Like, you know, like, when you're physically attracted to someone, like, your chest kind of meets, your hips meet, you get a little close. Nope. This girl was like 6 feet away from me at all times, sir. She barely wanted to touch him. She barely wanted to kiss him. Even they went to go sit, and I swear there was an ocean between them. Like, she did not want anything to do with this man. And I was like, wow. Even in his ITM, he was like, I hope she liked me. I was like, wow. So you could tell too. It was so obvious. And she admits, like, the physical isn't there for her. She doesn't know why. And, like, now she doesn't feel good about being with Sal. So.
Yeah, girl, we could tell. Like, we knew that. We knew. We saw it right away. And I knew this was going to happen. I knew exactly what was going to happen when they met. When most of these couples met, I already knew it was going to happen. I think Shake was probably more caught up in the moment. Going back to the last episode, because he probably didn't expect Deepti to be as hot as she was. And so he was, oh, I can grab this. I can touch this. Okay, that's fine. Shayna and Kyle, immediate non-attraction on Shayna's side. Natalie and Shane was like, ugh. Yeah. You know, it just continues a trend for me. So far, none of these meetings have been enough for me to be like, oh, wow, like, this is really good. I'm so happy for them. Like, none of them.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe just, it was like just Nick and Danielle, and that's it, pretty much.
And even that was weird. Like, their kiss was also pretty awkward.
Yeah. I think it's like the awkwardness of meeting for the first time, but I don't know. I feel like the last season, like, they felt more excited to be seeing each other, but versus this season, it felt like they're like, oh,
yes,
you were the one who I was talking to, I guess. I don't know. Do people in Chicago just have higher standards or what? I don't know. Almost all of them were like, I guess.
You know what? It's very interesting that people who are not, they're conventionally attractive, but also not that pretty, have these thoughts and ideals and standards. That's what I will say. Mm-hmm. Like, people who are attractive, but not that pretty. Like, this is not a Miami model situation. Mm-hmm. Like, none of you are Miami Beach people. Right. I don't really get where this is coming from, but okay. Mm-hmm. if that's how you feel, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was Mallory and Sal. And now we get to Ayanna and Jarrett. So where last we left off, Jarrett had told Ayanna that he tentatively proposed to Mallory. It's not our talking again. And Ayanna's just like reiterates, I was really certain about you and I don't understand why you weren't, blah, blah, blah. They have this really tense conversation again. I just had to write this down because Jarrett says the biggest thing he likes about her is her strength. And I was like, really, nigga? Like, why is it that when it comes to Black women, people just like our strength? I don't want to be going through shit. I'm sure Ayanna didn't want to go through the shit she went through either. So like, why is it her strength is the thing that attracted you to her the most? What? Not her humor. Ayanna's funny as hell. She is hilarious. She's such a light. She's such a good humored person. Like, none of that. He went straight for strength. I was like, all right, sir. And then he asked her to marry him. And she's like, that's not what I expected you to say. And she's like, are you sure? He's like, yes, I'm sure. The fuck? And she was like, yeah. So they get engaged. Yay. I'm happy if she's happy.
Listen, I too was wondering if he was sure. I too was curious. I was just like, are you sure for real, bruv? Like, are you actually sure?
Exactly.
Like, her disbelief was also by disbelief, because I thought, and I wondered if he proposed just so they could have a chance to work it out in person. You know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. a part of me feels that way. The proposal, but he stayed on one knee the whole time, though. The whole time he proposed to her, and she was questioning mm-hmm. shit. So shout out to him and those knees for that strength, because the ground does not look that soft. So shout out to you for staying on one knee the whole time. But I was just not quite. I understand her skepticism, especially considering mm-hmm. this would have been maybe the next day after the whole Mallory situation.
I was not the most excited for their engagement. And if he had proposed to her first, hell yeah, I would have been excited. But because it happened this way. And I was like, man, like, Ayana needs to be the main character, not just the consolation prize. And that's how it feels a little bit. And it was like, she don't deserve none of that. She deserves way better than that. But congrats. Oh, Lord. Anyway.
But now let's talk about them meeting. That meeting was the best part. Like, her yellow dress, I loved that.
I loved how nervous she was.
Like, it was just so adorable, like, how they were both nervous to see each other. So you could, if you could just suspend belief for a moment that Jarrett's a good person and just focus on how anxious he was to meet her and how he wanted to meet his fiance, then we could say, okay, all right, this was great. And so when the doors opened and they saw each other, she was like, wow, okay, look at you, kid. And it proceeded to be the most blackety-black meeting of minds I've ever seen before. And I loved it.
I loved it. I really liked her ring too. He got her a gold ring, which matched her dress. It was really cute. She's so funny. She was like, in her like interview and stuff, she was like, oh, he got a big head, so I'm a little nervous for my cervix, but he's really cute.
Listen, and I was like, girls, that is something that I would definitely be thinking about. Like, he got a big ass head. You got to push those babies out.
I know. And she's so tiny. So he's 6'1" and she's 5'2". So she's tiny and thin and he's big and tall. So they're cute. Honestly, they look cute together to me. She's a little worried about his height, but they look cute together to me. And it's so funny. Like, she's okay, good taste. Like, when she sees the ring, good taste. I was like, look, I love this. I love it so much.
So that was great. It was the highlight of the whole season.
The best meeting, which I see why they saved it for last, because that's the last meeting that we see. So fine. So those are the six couples. The six couples are Nick and Danielle, Deep T and Abhishek. What's his name? Shane and Natalie. Kyle and Shayna. Really testing my knowledge here. Ayana and Jarrett and Mallory and Sal. Yes, those are the six couples that we're following to Cancun. Yes, people, at the end of this episode, it ends in Cancun, where we see all the couples and we finally see how shit breaks down. Yes. None of them are having the best time.
No. You know what? I think that the only people having a great time were like Ayana and Jarrett, to be really honest. But you know what? Let's just dive right into that. So we get to Mexico. We're seeing each couple individually. They haven't met up with the group as yet. And so first we tune in to Shayna and Kyle. And we realize that Kyle's mother's engagement ring is too big for Shayna's hand. And so she has to wear it as a thumb ring. And to me, if that's not a sign, I don't know what is. The ring just does not. And so it's okay. I don't want you to feel slighted because you didn't get a new ring like everyone else. And she's like, oh, I love my ring. But then she's complaining, oh, I didn't get like a pedicure or something. And he's like, I don't care about that. She's like, well, I do. And it's a very aggressive conversation, unnecessarily. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Me too. I'm like, this is how y'all talk? Like 5 minutes in, I was like, ooh, this is not gonna last. They do not like each other. Or at least she does not like him. Like, even remotely. She can't even talk nice to him. It's just, it is not. And then you find out he's younger than her. So he's 28 and she's 31 or 32. And she holds that over his head a little bit. I'm like, girl, I don't know. Her energy is funky. I'm not going to lie. Her energy is funky. So.
My spirit not tech to her. My spirit don't tech
to her. No, don't tech to her at all. So then we go to Deep D and Shake, and they're very much kissy kissy, lovey. Oh my God. Deep D has a moment where she admits, like, she questioned if she was really attracted to him like that. And she found that she watched him and she watched him eat and she watched him sleep and blah, 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 blah. She found, yeah, she was attracted to him. And I was like, look at you questioning and coming back with an accurate answer and just falling in love with this man. Love that. Wish you could get the same energy back, but we'll get to that.
No, let's talk about it right now. Let's talk about it right now. Let us say that they're in the pool, kissing, cuddling, like being very sexual. And there's a point where I think Shake says, do you want to hump? And I was like,
yeah.
What? Did he just say that?
Yeah, girl, I saw that too. I don't think I even heard him say that. I saw it in the caption. And I was like, did I read that right?
No, I heard it and I had to rewind. I had to rewind because I heard it and I was like, wait, what? And I rewound that shit. That's so fast. I was like, excuse me. Did he just? And at the same point, Deep T is, oh, I can't wait for us to get married. I can't wait to have your babies. And Shake's face is frozen, terrified.
Oh my God. This actually happens in episode 4, but we got to talk about it because it's like, what the fuck, Shake? And I did tweet about it too. I was like, wow, Deep D mentions commitment and babies and all of a sudden Shake ain't attracted to her anymore. Because that's what he's like. He's like, I don't know. Like before it was like, oh my God, yeah, she's so great. And then it was like, I don't know if I'm attracted to her. There's just not that animalistic attraction. I'm like, sir, you're a commitment phobe. Like, durr. And exactly. There's some self-hate going on. So you obviously need to be telling this to a therapist and not to us. So.
Right? I was like, listen, I had to bring it up because I could not believe that was going on. Like, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. But
they
yes,
warned
okay.
us. Our followers they, warned us.
They did. I didn't feel blindsided, but I was still flabbergasted.
Yes, same. Absolutely. So then we get to Natalie and Shane. It's his birthday. Look, let me tell you, almost every single scene with Shane just annoyed the fuck out of me. Like, I'm not even lying. Like, it's his birthday and she's, oh, what do you want to do for your birthday? And he's like, these two rooms, maybe the hot tub. And so she's joking around. She's like, oh, no way. And his face drops. He's like, come on, it's my birthday. You don't want to fuck me on my birthday. He didn't say that. But you can tell that's what he wanted to say. And Natalie, I feel like Natalie's personality is she likes to dig at people and joke around, which I get along with people yes. like that because my self-esteem isn't in the rock bottom. Like, I like when people can make fun of me. I think it shows that they're paying attention. Shane does not like that because Shane has the self-esteem of a teaspoon, right? So he needs constant.
And that, hold on. That's being nice to
that's
Shane.
Being like, nice.
That's being real nice because a teaspoon is a
it's
whole
a
lot.
Whole lot. Because he seems to think so well of himself that he needs constant reassurance.
He needs constant words of affirmation. I told you that man's a fucking energy vampire. He's a vampire. He gives nothing back. He's going to suck the life out of her. That's exactly what he's going to do. Because she makes a joke and then he's just sitting there. You have to be nice to me. You've been mean to me all day. And I was like, what are we, two? Like, what the fuck is this
exactly,
shit? You're a grown
exactly,
man.
Exactly. Like, you're a grown ass fucking man. So what happened was, like, he had some champagne and he refused to give her the champagne. He was like, oh, you have to say something nice to get champagne. That's what I thought of. I was like, are you a child? What the fuck? And so she's, oh, I'm not going to say anything. Like, give me champagne first and I'll say something. So he gives it to her. And then she's like, I think you're a piece of shit. And then she starts laughing. She's obviously joking. I thought it was hilarious. I honestly thought it was hilarious. And he takes so much offense. And he's like, oh, ever since me and Natalie came on the pause, like, our communication is just not there. She can't even have a conversation with me. And I want more affection. And I'm like, sir, you just want a robot that compliments you, that you can fuck. That's honestly what this man wants. I don't know why the fuck he's on this show. I don't know who let him on this show.
Listen,
but Lord,
he
is exhausting.
It's bad. So exhausting. So annoying. Mm. I can't stand him. It's just, I think Natalie's annoying as shit as well. Like, I don't get me wrong. I do think she's annoying because I don't think she understands time and place for how to be funny mean. Mm-hmm. Like, she hasn't gotten that sorted out. But like Shane, I was just like, good Lord, he is not that cute for you to have to put up with this.
Exactly. And it's, I don't know any person who is confident who like fishes for compliments as much as him. It's strange, especially on your birthday. You shouldn't have to fish for compliments on your birthday. Like, why don't you just let people be people? And if they're not complimenting you as much, then you should know that's not the person for you. Like, why are you trying to fight this woman against who she is? I just don't understand. Like, the entire time there in Mexico, it just felt like he was trying to fight her on who she is. And it was like, no, sir, this is who she is. If you don't like it, you can leave. Like, I don't understand. But anyway, so that happens. Then we see Nick and Danielle. I honestly like Nick. He's my type of people. He explains that he's brushing his teeth, and he explains that he's using his own natural toothpaste that he made of baking soda and some other stuff. I can't remember what it was, but I think that's cool. She is not about it.
Listen, actually, I can tell you, it was baking soda, coconut oil, peppermint essential oil, and oh crap, what was the other thing? I think there was like four ingredients. The peppermint oil was like the last one. But yeah, so there's one ingredient I'm missing, but there, you can make toothpaste at home. It's not hard. But no, she was not Natalie. Danielle seems very materialistic, and she's also very insecure. And I think that has to do with the weight that she's lost and like her past traumas, whatever, which honestly, and I'm going to be a bitch by saying this, it's not that traumatic.
No, it's not.
It's not that traumatic.
I personally feel like she might have body dysmorphia a bit, because you look at Danielle and you're like, she's an attractive woman. Like, she's fit. She has a great body, but she does not see that at all. Like, she's so insecure about it, which to me makes me feel like there might be something else going on there that she's not aware about. Because if she looks like the way she looks and she's still unhappy, it's, girl, what is going on here? How would you prefer to look like? And she does also come across to me as like the type of person who will mostly rely on the opinion of others over her own opinion. So like, she will see somebody like Nick using his own toothpaste and be like, what would other people think? Other people might think this is gross. So this is gross. I'm going to switch it out. But I think that's so cool. I'm like, wow, a man who makes his own toothpaste? Oh, okay. That's handy.
Yeah. And then she is like telling her item. She's like, I'm going to switch out his like homemade toothpaste for that stuff. And then he's like asking her, do you think I'm weird? And she's, yeah. Like, this is weird. And then he says he makes his own body wash as well.
Yeah.
And that he's like a little hippie. And in her ITM, she's like, I don't know how his breath doesn't smell bad.
But baking soda is what they make toothpaste out of. So I'm like, I don't know why you would think that. Like, he has the basic ingredients in there. But she says, did you catch it? When he was like, he's a hippie, and she's like, she's the opposite. I was like, oh, Lord. But it's not like a huge difference, but I'm like, oh Lord, like this might be something that this might cause little arguments throughout their day.
Yeah, it was a lot. She was doing a lot in that moment. And just like how she was interacting with him as well, there was just conflict where there didn't need to be any.
Yeah, it did not seem like she had a deep appreciation for the smaller things or the little things that make him. And I find that with a lot of these couples, like a lot of these couples probably dove into like deep conversations and had an emotional appreciation for each other. And then it comes to the little things and they're like, oh, I don't actually like all these other little things about you, which makes me wonder what the fuck they be talking about, to be honest with you. So then
I would love to know.
I would love to be in those pods so I can experience it for myself. If any Love is Blind producers are listening, just put me in there. Let me find out. Let me just see. You don't have to film me. Let me just see. So then we get to Kyle and Shayna, and they're having dinner. He orders dinner for them. He orders her a steak, and he orders himself a vegetarian meal because he's vegetarian. So she makes him eat steak. And I felt so bad for him because the way she was phrasing, she didn't make him eat steak. He was just like, I want to try it. And after he admitted that he wanted to try it, it seemed like she was saying like, yeah, if you don't eat meat, you're weird. And I was like, why would she? Anyway, I don't know, for me business. That's their relationship. Anyway, he has steak for this horrible woman. Though part of me feels like he probably saw the steak and was like, yo, that does look good as fuck. Like, I want to try.
Listen, I think that how he approached it was that I haven't eaten meat for this long time. It looks really good. And also that people pleasing, it will make her happy if I eat it. Like, he could just kind of tell because she wanted to try the eggplant. Mm-hmm. And you can't just be like, here, you can take my tiny bit of vegetables. You have to reciprocate. Like, she has to also, have some of her food. So I get him trying it, and he seemed to enjoy it because he said he liked it. But the part where it gets super weird is about the bread, where she was like, real men have to eat bread. You're weird if you don't eat bread. Like, she literally uses the word weird if he doesn't eat bread. And I was just like, I love bread as much as the next person. I love me some bread. I love hot buttered bread, whether it's in croissant form or like whatever. Like, give me bread. Give me bread. Give me a Hawaiian roll. I love that shit. But like, the way that she was going about it, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So abrasive. So disgusting. I would have thrown the food in her face. Not, I wouldn't waste the food, but like, I would have wanted to throw the food in her face.
Exactly. Like, and I was just like, why would he let her talk to him like that? Like, real men eat bread. You're weird if you don't eat bread. Like, that, I don't know. To me, it just seems, I'm like, Kyle is missing all the red flags. This woman does not like him, like, at all. And then we get the biggest red flag. We get the biggest red flag of all time after this, when she wants to have a conversation with him. They're in their room together. He's obviously looking forward to spending the night together. And then she drops a bomb. She's like, she wants to spend the night in separate rooms because that's her boundaries. And I'm like, what boundary? I'm sorry. I just, if, okay, let's say you did get engaged to a stranger and you do want to spend the night in separate rooms. I could believe that, but I don't believe Shayna for a second. I do not. I think she was just like, look, the last thing I want to do is spend the night with this guy who I know I'm not attracted to and who I know I don't want to marry. So we need to not be here. And he just accepts it. He's, I'm confused, but all right. And so they actually do. She goes to a different room and then she talks about leaving Mexico as a single woman and she bounces with her suitcases in her robe. And that's it. That's how the episode ends.
And it's Kyle just, is very so much baffling.
It was. And he's very much, oh, we need to work on our relationship. I was like, sir, what relationship? She left you. Oh, girl. I just, what was this episode? What was that? What was that? Okay, I'm done talking. You go ahead.
No, I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, I literally have as a note, Shayna walks out. What? And then I continued watching episode four. I started into episode four because I didn't even notice that she like had actually really left until they talking to Kyle in episode four. I was like, she didn't just leave. There's no way. Of course, we see the robe or the suitcase, but like, she didn't just leave. Maybe she didn't just leave. It didn't even cross my mind that she could have really done that. Mm-hmm. But I should have known better. And I was just like, she really just walked out. Like, she really just walked the fuck out. Like, after and being so aggressive. And didn't even say anything. I didn't say anything. Didn't even leave the mother's engagement ring. Because I was just like, what the fuck is going on? What is happening? Like, how is this whole, their interactions entirety are just so bizarre. I don't even know.
So weird. Like, she didn't tell Kyle anything. She just dipped and left him there on vacation. On his couple's vacation alone. And she even talks in her ITM about leaving Mexico single. And I was like, so you're not even going to have the heart to have a conversation with him? She was just like, yeah, I want to sleep in separate rooms. And then she dipped. And then for some reason, Kyle's like, yeah, we're just going to work on our relationship. And I'm like, sir, like, the only reason you need to talk to this woman is to get your mom's engagement ring back. Like, why would you want to marry someone who would do that, who would talk to you that way, who would leave you and not say anything? And like, why would anyone want to be with somebody like that, to be honest?
Tell you
deserve better.
He's unbalanced. There is something wrong with him. There is something wrong with him that he cannot even realize what she is doing. And this is not me being ableist in any way, shape, or form. This is, I genuinely think that there is something wrong with him because she's yelling at you and pretty much calling you stupid and you're sitting there smiling in her fucking face. Exactly. Sir, exactly. What is wrong with him? And I would love for someone to tell me, I'm not going to follow him because I don't care, but I would like someone to actively tell me what's wrong with this man.
I loved your comment on Instagram when you were like, is he being this delusional on purpose? I mean, because that's when you watch this, that's the only question you have. Is he being this unaware on purpose? Like, is he just caught up in this fantasy and just not seeing any of these signs whatsoever? Just blind as hell to all these red flags? Like, they're waving right in your face, sir. They are waving.
Listen, the whole room is wallpapered in red flags. Is he okay? Exactly.
Gross. And he just seemed like such a sweet guy. So it's, you deserve way better than her. Damn. Like, of all the women in all the world, Shayna, boy, bye. He needs to go. He needs to go to therapy too, to be honest. So that is episode 3 of Love is Blind. I'm glad we're only covering that, because if we were to cover episode 4 too, this podcast episode would be like at least 3 hours long. Because episode 4
so many fucking things happened. many things happened.
Yeah, so tune in next week if you want to hear us talk about that as we continue this journey with the 6 couples that none of us have any confidence in whatsoever. But what a journey.
Zero confidence.
What a journey. What was I going to say? Oh, sweet and sours.
Okay. My sweet moment is Ayana's dress and Ayana's reaction to meeting Jared.
Yeah, I'm going to say, is that my sweet moment? What's my sweet moment? Let me look at my notes real quick. Yes. None of these. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. Probably my sweet moment is Ayana's dress and Ayana in general. She is the sweetest part of the show, to be honest with you. Ayana in general. That's my sweet moment.
Yeah.
What is your sour moment?
That's our sweet moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of sour moments in here. I'm going to say for me, it was a tie between Shane being who he is and Shayna being who she is. But I'm going to say if any of them take the cake, it was probably Shayna. She just, like you said, messica, just hella messy. Don't like nothing good in her life. Don't know what the fuck she want. And just being mean as fuck for no reason. Yeah. She's my sour moment. And we still have, 7 more episodes to go with her in it. So, Lord of mercy.
I don't even know what's going to happen at this point. I have zero confidence in any of these couples. Like, zero.
Zero. Zero. Zero. I'm going to say I would be really surprised if any of them truly make it to the altar. Probably the only couple that I have faith in is Ayana and Jarrett. And I'm going to also say Natalie and Shane, but only because they're both way too stubborn to turn around. So if anything, I would predict Natalie and Shane getting married and getting divorced a year later. That's the only marriage I see like really happening. So we'll see what happens.
Let me tell you, I think it's going to be Deepti and Abhishek, Natalie and Shane, and Ayana and Jarrett. And the reason why I think that Deepti and Abhishek are going to be in there is because they're both Indian and marriage is a huge fucking deal. I do not see them making it to the altar and then turning around and like breaking up in front of all the friends and family, in front of your Indian family. Can't see it. Can't see that happening.
That would be a tough one. I am definitely interested to see what would happen. And they all make it to the altar because in the previews, you see them all in their wedding dresses. So I'm like, oh shit, they're all like making it to the altar. I really thought like some would drop out before they even got there, to be honest. So that was really surprising for me. So we'll see what happens.
They must pay them. They have to pay them for this. Like, they have to probably pay them to make it to the wedding part and not just end it prior to.
They might pay them for each portion. So, like, for the pods, for the trip, for the apartment, because they have a shared apartment, and for the wedding. Like, they might pay for each part. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, producers, let me get on the show. Let me just see. You don't have to film me, but let me just see. So that's that for Love is Blind. Right, Jen? Unless there's anything else you want
to
add?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's it. There's nothing else good I can add to this conversation.
No,
we'll save all my vitriol for next episode.
Yeah, y'all definitely need to tune in for next week. We got a lot to talk about. lot to talk about. In the meantime, we will still be doing our live recaps. I'm going to try to tweet. I'm trying not to tweet spoilers when the finale drops this weekend. So I might wait to tweet about that for a while, but I'm going to try to tweet through everything. So y'all just bear with me. And then, so now we have to talk about Joe Millionaire. I don't know if y'all are watching Joe Millionaire like that, but it's actually a really fun show. I have no notes. So we're going to go off vibes.
You know what? Let me do the Love is Blind emails first so we can wrap it all up and then we'll do Joe Millionaire.
Oh, yes.
So
that way we'll have vibes. We have emails.
Yes. Okay. So this first one is from Lucy. Lucy says, honestly, I do not think there is a healthy couple in this cohort of proposals. So many of them seem to want to get married because it's a box they are ticking. Nick and Danielle both have no business being in a relationship. They should both be in therapy. Shayna is just a whole kettle of racist fish on her own. have many more thoughts about episodes 6 to 9. So this is just her first 5 episodes recap.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is the Love is Blind email we got.
Thanks, Lucy, for sharing your thoughts. Yeah, I got that vibe from Shayna, too. I did watch ahead a little bit and I saw the part with her family. We are going to get to that. Trust. So totally get it.
Yeah. So we'll do Joe Millionaire and then we'll cover Batch Nation news at the end of that. So Joe Millionaire, for those of you who have been into reality TV since the early 2000s, the original show, white guy, mansion, the women are all told he's a millionaire, he's super rich. Turns out he's poor as hell. I think he was also in construction, actually, funny enough. And so at the end of it, at the end of the entire show, when he chooses the final person is when you realize he confesses, hey, I'm not actually a millionaire. I'm broke as hell. Do you still want to be together? And if the girl said yes, then they would get money. So short version of what the original Joe Millionaire was. There was never able to successfully do a season 2. I think the UK tried to do a Joe Millionaire. It didn't work out. So this is a spinoff of a show from 20 years previously, like being super honest. And we brought Joe Millionaire back for richer or for poorer. And it is about two men in the mansion, one who is worth over $10 million and the other one who is not worth over $10 million. But he still owns his own business. So I think he might not be a millionaire, but he probably has money. If you can afford to take time off of your own business to go on a reality dating show for at least a month, you probably have your own money. You probably are comfortable financially wise.
All the signs point to this man ain't got no money problems, in my opinion, from watching the show.
Yes. So we have the two guys. It's Steve McBee of the McBee Farms. If you guys know anything about ranching and cattle, especially in the South, McBee is huge there. When I mentioned the person on it, they were like, really? The McBees? And I was like, yeah, apparently they want to be on TV too. And so it was very funny. And they're two white guys, obviously. So as you can tell, guys, we have no issues with actually watching shows with white people. It's just The Bachelor. It's just The Bachelor and their racism. That's what we have a problem with. Okay, so that happens. And so we have Steve and Kurt. Kurt is the construction dude. Steve is the millionaire dude. And they have the woman come into the house. There was only, I think, about 17 women to start the season. There were a couple of black women and women of color. And right now we've gotten to the final 6. So how they've been doing the dates is that they've been doing a lot of group dates, some one-on-ones, and they've been doing the dates as like, here is a rich date and here is a more poor date. And so the rich date is like, for I think one of the earlier episodes, the rich date was like a cotillion kind of vibes. So they are all dressed in fancy dresses, they're doing the dancing, they're doing this stuff, and the poor date was hanging out at a dive bar, like a country theme.
Yeah, it was like
bar.
A country bar where they were doing like wine dances and stuff. Girl, that day was a mess. Okay, you would think one of those days was a mess and one of them was not. And it was not what you think.
Yeah, it was hilarious though. Like I genuinely enjoy the contrast that they've been doing, like a high life quote unquote date and a date that is not so high class. So there's one where they go to the opera and there's one where it's, oh, we have a carriage, horse-drawn carriage pickup. You're wearing crowns. And the other one is a bouncy castle. I love that kind of contrast. Or it's, we're going on a group camping trip. Some of you will be glamping in like fancy beds and fancy tents. And some of you will just be roughing it in sleeping bags on the floor. Like I love the contrast that's being shown, but I got to say there are some toxic women in this house.
I just want to say I also love the little challenges that they do. The one challenge that stuck out for me was the gold digger challenge. I was like, I love that they're just like leaning into this concept all the way. Because there was a challenge where the women literally had to gold dig in, and the one who found the most gold went on a date. So I thought that was really funny. But yes, the women are toxic as hell, and they drink a lot. There's this one woman who is clearly, obviously, very drunk, and just causing drama every single time, and like arguments every single time. And I was so surprised because they let her leave drunk. She was drunk. She got drunk as fuck and left. And I was like, wait, y'all let her leave? Like, she was obviously drunk as fuck. But I guess it was kind of like, yeah, like, we don't want this type of people on the show anyway. So let's get her out.
Listen, a lot of weird really stuff funny. Happening. Mm-hmm. So you have that woman. She was a woman of color. I don't want to say a black woman, but she might identify as black, I know. Say. But yeah, she was really nice, though. I liked her a lot, but she seemed to be not dealing with the premise of the show very well. There's no, a little, she did lot not. Of things happening. Mm-hmm. And so she drank a lot and then she self-eliminated. And then there's some other women, like there was Jenny, who was on for a while, who was a victim of sex trafficking. And I was mm-hmm. like, girl, what? Obviously yeah. these things happen in real life and we know it, but like having that conversation was super important because they had that conversation on air. And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah,
so she really opened up to the guys about it. So weird. And mm-hmm. just, how do I say this? Okay. I think Steve McBee, the millionaire, is a player because I don't see him building any deep connections with any woman in this house. Like, not a single one.
Mm-mm. It's all like who he's feeling. He just makes out with a bunch. I mean, he doesn't make out with a bunch of them. Like, it's not as bad as like the Bachelor or Bachelorette where you see like them making out with people back to back. But you can definitely tell he's leading with his dick for sure. For sure. So there's that. There's a couple of women that he's, oh, they seem interesting. And then you realize they don't really have a lot in common, but they're like talking to each other anyway.
Yeah. So he has zero in common with any of these women, like zero. And then the women that he likes also have nothing in common with each other. And so it makes it very confusing, right? Because you're like, what exactly is he looking for? Usually once you get to a certain point, on shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, whatever, you can sense some similarities between the final contestants. Like, we're at a point now where the only thing these women have in common is that they like him. I don't really know that they have much in common outside of that. When in contrast, Kurt, who is the one who's not worth $10 million, like, he has very solid, strong connections with two women in particular. There's Carolyn, who is, she seems biracial, black woman. And you have Amanda, who is this white, blonde-haired woman. Carolyn? Yeah, Carolyn's black. Yeah.
What? She looks hella white. I just thought she was hella tan.
No, Carolyn's black.
What the fuck? All right, y'all. I'm looking. What? I thought she was Carolyn's a white woman this black. Whole time. No way.
The blonde Carolyn ass hair? Is black. Yeah, Carolyn is black. And her son's father, because her ex-husband is like Australian or something. So that, I think Carolyn's, like I said, biracial. So I don't think that both of her parents are black. I think that one of her parents is white. But you know how it is. If we're going by the one drop rule, then I guess she's black.
She does look hella brown. I'd be like, damn, this girl be tanning. Anyway, continue. I don't know. I don't know if this like the way if this show is edited or not, but I do not like this woman. Like at all. She's very controlling. So she met what's his face, Kurt, and she was like, okay, I need you to date the other woman. So when you choose me, not even if, when you choose me, you're making the right decision. So he's like, all right. So he goes to date other women. She has a problem with that. Oh, why are you flaunting all these other women in front of me? Girl, do you know what show you're on? Do you know the premise of the show? Do you remember when you told him to date other people? What are you doing? Like, she's so frustrated. Listen,
She's standing there with a blindfold on her face that she put on by herself, being like, I do not recall. It's very interesting. She's very possessive. She reminds me of Crystal from Ari's season with how like she talks about him and like, to him. I don't know if you guys remember Crystal from Ari's season of The Bachelor with how like she was very possessive of the time that they had together. And Crystal and Carolyn are definitely playing from the same playbook. And yeah. I do think the issue is that Kurt is very drawn to her. Like he's more drawn to her than he is to anyone else. The only other person he's drawn to is the person who, I'm sorry, I don't get the appeal of Amanda, aside from the fact that she makes him laugh. Like, yeah, I'm not really I think getting she's just from her.
Compared to Carolyn, I feel like it might just be like she's like really easygoing and that's it. Because Carolyn's so intense, it was like, oh, this girl's chill. So I feel like that's the appeal. It's in the contrast of the intensity. It's okay, that's really intense. So I'ma just chill with this girl. But I don't know if they actually have much in common or anything. I'm not too totally sold on their connection, but I want them to work out just to spite Carolyn.
I want him with anyone but either of those two women, and I will tell you why. I'll tell you why. So Lex is not fully caught up on last week's episode yet, but don't worry, I am, so I can tell you all the tea. So we've gotten to the point where there are only 7 women left in the house. They send home maybe 1 woman, sometimes send 3 women, sometimes send home 2 women. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There are 7 women left in the house, and they invite the women's families to the mansion. And so for most of them, it's like at least 1 parent and like a sibling or both parents. In Carolyn's case, it was just her best friend, no parents at all. And that really made me question something, but maybe she doesn't have parents. I don't know. We'll see. So it's okay. Fine. We're doing this stuff. We're doing this thing. And it was very interesting to see how the parents reacted to the situation where there are 2 guys here. One of them is rich, one of them isn't. And we find out at this event that Amanda's family is actually worth a lot of money. And her mom makes a joke like, oh, we're worth more than $10 million.
Whoa, like, what?
Because she's like, oh, our grandfather like put money in a trust for our family. We live very frugally. And I'm looking at her like, no, you don't. I already know that.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
I mean, living frugal on a $200,000 a year income that's like, I'm just guessing at $200,000. I'm not saying that's what she makes a year or like what she has, but she's an entrepreneur. She owns her own business. It's not like she has a full-time 9-to-5 job. It's very, like, she's like a fashion person, I think is what Amanda is. Don't quote me on that though. I was just like, yeah. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting that you're like, oh, I live very frugally. And I'm like, are you Kit Keenan? Do you think that your mom is Cynthia Rowley? And if Kit told me she lived frugally, Kit from Matt Season, by the way.
I know.
Looking at her like, girl, like, I'm sure Kit exactly. thinks that she does live frugally. I'm sure Kit thinks that she lives frugally for the amount of money her mother has. So we'll just say that living comfortably, living frugally when you have millions of dollars at your disposal is a different kind of lifestyle.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the median income in America is like, what, 30K? I'm pretty sure they don't mean that. So
yeah, unless you're living off $50,000 or less a year, we are not living frugally. You're not. No. Absolutely not.
No. I'm sure they would look at that and be like, how do people live off of this? If they were to make that, yeah. They'd be like, ugh, ew, the poors, how do they do it?
Especially considering she's born into this money as well. So it's not as if this money just happened upon her generation. She's born into it. So it's interesting watching how they interact with the parents. And I think Kurt is a bit turned off that Carolyn's family is not there and it's just her best friend because he has like questions more than like he wants to ask. But Kurt's problem with Carolyn is not even about how intense she is. It's about the fact that she's been married before and she has a kid. And she cannot quote unquote give him straight answers about what life will be like with her son and her co-parenting arrangement. And I'm like, what do you mean? She co-parents her child with her child's father. Right. What else is there to say? He is going to be in the child's life. What do you want? And I think that's part of what the problem is for me with Kurt. It's not that Carolyn is an issue for him. Yeah, he doesn't like how intense she is, but that's only because he has Amanda in contrast, not because he's not really a fan of it. I think it's that he's so hung up on the ex-husband thing that he's just, and I get, every time he brings it up, I'm like, God, this again?
I know, me too. It's what? Why is this such a foreign concept? She was married. They divorced. They have a child together. They have a healthy relationship, co-parenting with the child. Like, what is there to get? What is so hard to comprehend? This is real life. This is what families look like all over the world. Like, what? Every single time he brings it up, and my mind is just boggled. Like, why is this an issue? This is normal. Anyway, rant over.
No, but like, real talk, that's what the problem is. And so it was very interesting. He gets along really well with Amanda's like mom and sister because they're very similar to Amanda. They just love to laugh. It's obvious they have no worries in life. They're just doing their thing, living their best joyful lives. You know what?
Hearing that she has money makes a lot of sense. Right? Maybe that's why she laughs so much, because this girl ain't got no worries. Like, none.
It's just very interesting. And so there is a girl who was into Steven, Brianna, and she got drunk on the camping date, which we forgot to talk about that part. That was hilarious. Oh my God. She got drunk on the camping date. And she had to have Martin, the butler, yes, there was a butler, come and help her put her shoes on. And she was just like, do you think I'm pretty? And he was like, you're gorgeous. What are you talking about? Martin is just like the super soft, earnest man. I love him so much.
Mm-hmm. He hyped her up real quick. And I loved that. He was like, you're so beautiful. Like, why would you question that? I was like, oh, Martin. Come
hype me up too. Hype me up, Martin. It was so great. That was such a good moment, I think, where you saw that he wasn't just the stuffy butler, like making them do things from the side. He actually was also a little bit invested in the women and like how they were feeling and how they were coping.
Yeah. So that was really cute. Appreciate Martin. Oh, and then we have to talk about the girl, the influencer girl. Who got this girl? You can tell this girl came on only for screen time to boost her Instagram or whatever. Like, she, that was her byline. Like, she said influencer. She really made such like these last ditch attempts to make a connection. Like, she really was not bothering with these men at all. And then one elimination, she was like, oh shit, like, oh fuck, I'm in hot water here. And she stopped the elimination so she can give Kurt a note and be like, please read this. After. And I was like, girl, this is so such a desperate play. But she stayed, it worked. And then she kept talking about how she wanted to fuck the camera guy or the producer, one of the people who was like on set. I think it was a PA or somebody. And it was not good. Obviously, if you walk around talking about how much you want to fuck somebody on the production, people are gonna hear. So they had to kick her off. And I was like, girl, this is just, anyway, she must have got some followers or whatever. I don't even want to say her name. If y'all want to know who it is, go watch it on Hulu. But I don't even want to give her the free promo. Like,
oh, no, we're not mentioning her by name.
No, this girl obviously came on there for free promo and was just like a horrible human being. So there's that. If y'all decide to check it out, go watch it and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm a Manasseh Shanae, Manadua.
I will say that she had lots of lip filler in. That will help you figure out exactly who she is.
It was terrible. Look, just a side note, like, I don't understand the overfilled lips. They just don't look good. They don't look good, y'all. They don't look good. Just, if you don't have lips, it's fine. Just use what you have. Don't overstuff your lips. They don't, maybe they look good in pictures, but they don't look good in real life. Don't do that to yourself. Don't try to make yourself an Instagram picture in real life. Like,
the camera adds 10 pounds and they added all of them to your lips.
Exactly. Every single one just went right to her lips. Oh, Lord. Anything else we missed out about Joe Millionaire? It's actually a really fun show.
It's a really fun show. The episodes are only 1 hour long, and that's what makes it like worth watching to me. There are 4 episodes left, not including the episode that drops tonight, because tonight, meaning Thursday, the day this episode comes out. I will say that there is one thing. The promo for this week's episode is that they're going home. So they're going to the men's houses. They brought the women's families to the mansion. They're going to the men's hometowns. They're going to Kurt's hometown in North Carolina. They're going to Steve's hometown in Missouri. And there is a clip with Steven sitting at the table with his family. And he's like, you're all sitting here wearing Rolexes. What the fuck? So he's trying to get them to look poor before the girls come.
I was wondering, how would they do that? Like, how would they film it at a place that's not their house so they can't see like the nice stuff that he has? Like, what? I'm interested. I'm going to tune in. I'm interested. Yes. I'm interested to see what Kurt's house looks like too, because I know that man is not poor. So yeah, I want to see.
Yeah, we see Kurt's mom in the promo and she has thoughts about Carolyn. I think it's about Carolyn, but it's not really said for sure. Where she just, you don't see how this is like your other relationships. And it sounds like it might be about Carolyn. Ooh. We'll have to see about that. And Carolyn says in her ITN that she can't wait to meet her mother-in-law. So she's claiming that someone is her mother-in-law already. But I'm very excited for hometowns, super excited for this hometown experience, because I want to see how they're going to hide the fact that the McBee farm is fucking huge. I figure they're probably going to take him. He's probably going to take them to like one of the smaller houses on the property, because once you have like large amounts of land like that, you must have multiple houses on the property. So I figure he's going to take them maybe like to the ranch hand's house and be like, yeah, this is my family home.
They have to, right? He'll have to go to a smaller house or like a restaurant or something that's not where he lives. It would be hilarious if they did go to a ranch hands home or like a trailer on the property and was like, yeah, this is where I live. And the girl's freaking out like, oh. So all season long, the girls are going back and forth over who they think the rich one is. Some of them think Steven's the rich one. Some of them thinks Kurt's the rich one. Carolyn thinks Kurt's the rich one. So she's latched on to him. She's dug her nails into him and says, oh, you know about the finer things in life and you're a businessman? Hell fucking yeah. She doesn't say it to anyone, but you can tell she thinks he's the rich one. And a couple of girls think Steven is the rich one. But Steven is a unique rich person in that this man has never been to a vineyard. This man hasn't left the country. He doesn't really travel. He doesn't do a lot of things that you think the typical rich person would be doing, which is why a lot of them, like a half of them, I would say at least, think Kurt is the rich one because he's well-traveled. He's been to vineyards. He likes fine dining. I don't think Steven's that type of person at all either. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting. A lot of them think Kurt is when it's actually Steven. But I think there might be a twist because Kurt is not poor. Let me tell you, he is not starving. He is not struggling. It's totally possible that he had money and absolutely lost them all, but I don't know. I feel like there's a twist coming. I feel like there is a twist at the end of the season that we're probably not expecting. So we'll keep watching and report back. See if we're right.
Yes,
or not.
Yes. There's absolutely going to be a twist. And I don't know what the twist is going to be. They're saying one person is worth over $10 million, the other person is not. So they're not even specifying how much Kurt's net worth is. Mm-hmm, but exactly. I do think the twist might be something to do with that. And I will say that Steven is very much a typical Midwestern small town guy. So not having a passport, never having left the country, that's very standard. And I think that he lives a very simple yet extravagant lifestyle. Because I don't know, you guys, if you're watching the show, you'll remember the challenge the men had to do where they had to do these rich things. They had to like chuck bales of hay for one challenge to pick who they get to go on the date with. So they chuck bales of hay. They hit the tire with a sledgehammer a certain amount of times. They had to fill up champagne fountain. Mm-hmm. And then they had to get dressed in like a full suit, cufflinks and everything. And Steven was floundering at the suit situation. Like Kurt knew exactly where everything went. And Steven was just not really getting it. And Steven didn't even know how to pour the champagne. So it was very interesting. Steven at a certain point was just, he has poured the champagne all over his body. He was just like, this is what we're going to do. Oh, no, they had to open all the bottles of champagne and pour it into these glasses. Yeah, so he just poured the champagne all over his body. It was hilarious. But that's what I'm saying. I feel like Steven is what you'd expect from exactly where he's from, a small town in Missouri. The only difference is that, you're worth over $10 million and you're really trying to do the finer things in life. You're very content with a small town lifestyle. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Just chilling and buying Rolexes. Yep. That's what they do. So it is really interesting. Hey, look, I'm like, look, I don't care. You can buy me a Rolex too. There's this one girl on there, a black woman, Amber. And Amber's like, so you're never moving to a city? She's so opposed to living in the country. I'm like, girl, if you don't want to live in the country, I don't fault you at all. But you should also probably eliminate yourself. Because she's like, so you'll never live in the city? Maybe half in the country, half in the city? And he's like, I'm a country boy, born and raised, staying right here.
But he also has to say that because he can't give away the fact that he has the option of moving. So that's also part of the problem. He can't say, I can definitely pick up and move somewhere else. Because if you work on a small farm with your family, how would you be able to pick up and move? So we see that when the parents come to visit, one of the girls, her family's from New York. And I think it was Annie's parents. Whatever, it was one of them, their parents, I think, are very close-knit family, whatever. And they were like, they don't see her living away from them like that, like living in a whole new state, like in the middle of nowhere. And he was saying to Kurt afterwards, he was like, I can't even reassure them. Like, our family has like car washes and other businesses all over the country. I could move to New York, but I can't tell her that because then she'll know that I have money. There are things that he can't say. Because it'll be like, how can you leave your family farm like that? Like, how can you just leave them and move to a whole new state?
I didn't know that he had other businesses across the country. That makes a lot of sense. So Shout out to, what's it called? What, Bee Farms?
Whatever. Stephen McBee.
McBee, yes, yes. Shout out to them. I guess they're doing it, doing the thing. What else do we have to talk about? That might be it. I guess the next episode is hometowns. And then maybe we'll do another recap, like, once it's done. So we can just talk about what happened. So this is like our mid-season recap. And then we'll have a after the show recap. Yeah. I'm interested to see. I know there's going to be twists. I already feel it. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen. We'll see. We'll report.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Batch Nation news. The Bachelor Live on Stage released their dates. And of course, they've also told us exactly who is going to be at what date. Just as we expected, Justin is going to be the one. Yeah. I just shared it on our Instagram page. Justin, as we expected, is going to be at all of the Baltimore dates. Like you said, Baltimore, DC, that's going to be Justin. Rodney's actually going to be on some other dates on the East Coast, like in Atlanta and stuff like that, which was surprising to me. Oh. Ivan is doing Louisiana and Texas. And who was the other Black person again? Ivan, Rodney, Justin.
Who are we forgetting? Not Brandon. Brandon was on there, no. Andrew. Andrew was on there, right?
Andrew S. There we go. Yeah. Yes. Andrew S. Yeah. I forgot what dates he was. I forgot where he was going to be at. But Andrew S.'s dates are also on there. So I shared those to the Bachelor's Instagram story today. I will save them in the highlights of what's going on so you guys can double back and look at it whenever you get a chance. But yeah, so that's going to be interesting. Is there any other Batch Nation news specifically that we want to talk about?
I don't remember any. I haven't really been paying attention. Oh, this just small news, just our news. This is not a news thing. But yesterday, Mike Fleiss tweeted that there's about to be a historic announcement for The Bachelor. And I was like, how much y'all want to bet is not historic at all? And this man replies and he says, $40? Did not expect him to see us at all. So I was like, cool, you're on. If it's not historic, we're coming for you. I took that $40 to mean like I'm betting $40 that it is a historic announcement because he's the one who tweeted that it's going to be a historic announcement. So I'm like, bet. $40, you're on. Guess what the announcement is? The announcement is that this
I don't even know finale, what it is.
The season finale for The Bachelor has not been leaked, has not been spoiled. That's the historic announcement. And everybody's like, so the same thing that happened for Peter's season and all these other seasons. Like, this is not historic at all, sir. And I so appreciate all of you in his mentions, like, you owe us $40. You owe The Bachelorettes $40. So Mike Fleiss owes us $40. Our PayPal is thebachelorettes@gmail.com. That is thebachelorettes@gmail.com. I don't condone bullying, but if y'all want to harass this man to pay up to run us our money, I might look the other way. I'm kidding. It's not that serious.
Listen, I'm just saying that we deserve more than $40. We do deserve more than $40 for that. We deserve $40 each. So he should really be sending us $80 at the very minimum. Ideally, I want 4,000. Lex and I can split that pretty equally and be happy, but we'll start with 40 and work our way up.
I'm like, really? This is what I can't even talk no more about. Because it's like, you come on Twitter with your whole chest and say, historic announcement, knowing that people are just waiting for something different for this franchise. And then you say that bullshit. Sir, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You're just like riling people up for no reason at this point. It's so annoying. Anyway, I was hoping it would be the Senior Bachelor finally, but that seems to not be happening. Or just anyone other than stale sliced bread that they've been casting, but that seems to not be happening either. So I don't know, girl. I don't know. That's all our Bachelor Nation. And then the other news is that there is a Black woman in Clayton's final four or final three. I don't know where it is right now.
Final four.
I peeped that there's a Black woman. So I'm like, oh, okay. We'll see how far she makes. That usually does not happen. So
she's definitely going home after hometown. She's definitely going home after hometowns. We know it. It's fine.
They haven't had hometowns yet?
No.
Oh, okay. So I guess we'll see. If she lasts after hometowns, we'll mention it. But I was like, okay, Black woman. Like, we see you. Gotta hype you up real quick. I forgot her name. We'll find it out.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to talk about is the fact that there's been some rumblings happening in Bachelor Nation from Demi, from Deandra, about this Marissa Riley situation. So recently, Riley made a post talking about how he's been coping since the breakup with Marissa. And Deandra made some tweets afterwards. Oh, wow. Soliciting sympathy when you're the author of your own demise. That's interesting. Oh, and Lord. I was like, okay, what exactly is going on here? By the way, Riley follows us on Instagram now. So it's been very interesting watching him watch our stories where we're talking shit about certain people that are like his friends or whatever. But I digress.
It's not going to stop nothing.
So it's not going to stop. Rodney's been following us for a while too. And I stay talking shit. So exactly. There's that.
What are they going to do?
Nothing. They can just unfollow us and that's fine. But we do support the black men on this franchise, right? There is no hating for the black men. I don't support Jamari and you guys know why. But like we support a lot of the other guys in the franchise. Yes. So this email is actually related to the Riley Marissa drama that's been going on. And it's by Lolo. And the headline of this email, the title of the email is, "In my head, I'm a celebrity crisis manager." And I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be good. I just know it. So let's dive in, shall we? Marissa is not beating those quote unquote immature allegations anytime soon. I'm not sure why her camp keeps saying we don't know the whole story. Obviously we don't, since neither side will spill, which is fine. But then there's no point in vague posting about it. If Riley did something serious, serious in all caps, it may be in her best interest to say that. It seems like she and her friends want Bachelor Nation to turn on him, but we need a reason, sis. Otherwise, there's not really much she can do about the fact that Riley is winning the battle of optics, except manage hers better. She and her friends have access to the same platforms he does. So keep it positive and productive and quit with the sub-teeting and co-signing. Keep it in the group chat, girls. And that first thing is like super relevant because every time someone posts something about Riley or like subtweets Riley, whatever, Marissa is like liking it or retweeting it or resharing it or something like that. And it's girl, if you're not going to come out and say what's going on, then shut the fuck up. If you're not going to say anything, then be quiet. So there's that. So the next paragraph is, and another thing, I didn't watch Riley's season, but I liked him a lot in Paradise. But it seems like on Reddit, there are those who don't. That's fair, whatever. But it's always something about him I don't like, or vague accusations of colorism instead of some concrete evidence. And I don't like that. I saw people accusing his IG post of being calculated, which seems silly because he has the right to post about his own feelings on the situation. Plus, Riley is an educated lawyer. Of course his posts are going to be intentional and well-edited. That doesn't make him insincere. That makes him smart. Of course, if it turns out he was a monster, we can revisit. I'm sure public breakups suck for everyone involved, but the public can only go off what's being presented to them. And I mean, like, what else needs to be said?
Exactly. Like, that's how I feel, because it's like somebody even hopped in our mentions and was like, oh, leave Marissa alone, duh. She didn't do da-da-da. And I'm like, we never accused Marissa of doing anything. Like, she is, to me, it seems like Marissa's fighting this battle all by herself. Like, they broke up and we didn't hear anything about the break. We just heard they broke up and that was it. That was the end. We didn't hear no rumors about what happened with whoever. Honestly, this is the first time I'm hearing that there are immature allegations from Marissa. And I didn't hear nothing else. And then she's coming out subtweeting. So it's like this, if you break up with somebody and they start just like subtweeting and dropping wood and just doing all this extra shit, and the other person is like remaining silent or doing just like this very respectable, well-written post, like, what are your assumptions gonna be at the end of the day? Because we can only go off of what we're hearing. And what I'm hearing is Marissa can't straight up say what the fuck happened, and Riley is like, olive juice forever. So it's, girl, get it together. Tighten it up. If you're going to say something, say it with your chest. Don't be subtweeting or like retweeting or like trying to turn people. Like, it's a very passive aggressive thing. And that's the thing. It's like, you can't be passive aggressive in this space. because there's way too much speculation going on. You have to say things with your whole chest or else it'll get lost in the sauce. So Marissa, if you're out there, just say it with your chest. Just say what you want to say. Don't hide behind other people's words. Don't be subtweeting. Don't be like dropping what. Just whatever it is you want to say, just say it. I would much prefer if you just said it. Then I can rally behind. Then I can hear the info. I can rally behind you. However, I want to support you. You need to help me do that. I'm not going to support passive aggression. I'm not going to do it. Like, because that is immature at the end of the day. We're grown people. Like, and if you don't want to say anything, that's fine too. Just don't say nothing. Like, whoo. Okay, I got that off my chest.
No. And it's absolutely true. It's what needs to be said. If you're not going to say anything, then be quiet. Like, I don't, exactly. The subtweeting, it doesn't make anyone look good. It doesn't make anyone look right. Just say it with your chest or shut the fuck up.
Exactly. We're too old to be doing this shit. But she's young. I think she's 25. So if it is.
Yeah, I was about to say, you and I are too old. You and I are too old.
So if it is that she was like a little immature, like I can totally see. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying that because that's what was in the email. Thanks, Lolo. But if that's what it really is, then I can see why it wouldn't have worked out. Because all of this little passive aggression thing is hella immature. And Riley's too old for that. Riley's like our age or a little older than us. He's too old for that, girl. Yeah. Say what you need to say and move the fuck on. Honestly, that's all that needs to happen. You have the option.
Yes. And so the other thing I want to bring up is a little bit of bad news. Jasmine from Pilot Pete season, the Vietnamese girl, she was eliminated in week 3. She had gotten engaged. I think we'd announced it on the pod that she was engaged to her partner. And it looked like it was going to be a beautiful, super happy for them. And she made a post a couple days ago stating that they are no longer together. The engagement is off. They're no longer together. And she posted a video of like her crying about it. She's trying to tell the story to the followers, because the goal was to document all of the wedding planning and everything like on her Instagram page. And so this wedding being off is like a huge deal, and told people about it on the Instagram page. She was crying. She's being super vulnerable, super open. And there are people talking about how she's faking it for clout. Why is she crying on camera? Da, da, da. And I'm just sitting here. Y'all let these white bitches cry for everything on fucking TV with no, you don't check them at all. A woman of color genuinely expressing her feelings is a thing for you? Mm-hmm. Like, really? Look, y'all can suck it.
They love to check us for just expressing ourselves, to be honest. Like, a white woman can have the most fake apology-ass tears, and it's, oh my God, we believe you. Oh my God, thanks for being so genuine. Oh my God. And then a woman of color will express herself in the very same way, and it's like, you're seeking attention. It's the same thing that happened. There's this other TikTok that kind of went viral where this 30-year-old woman was just, she was crying and she was being genuine, and she was just like, dating in LA as a 30-plus kind of sucks because of X, like she gave proof and, you know, XYZ what happened. And people were like, why would you post that? Why would you come on here? Why would you do this? Why would you do that? And it's, look, if this is the woman's expression, leave her the fuck alone, okay? I don't say nothing when these white bitches cry on TikTok. I didn't say nothing when that white mom pretended to cry and made her kid pretend to cry. Remember that? But apparently women of color can't do it. I'm tired of people. Tired. We can express
I'm sick of this shit.
Crying is not limited. Yep, it's not reserved for white women only.
Yep. And Ash Talks Batch talked about this on her stories when the critique started coming out. And I was like, y'all are disgusting. Like, really? This is how y'all want to spend your days? Disgusting.
Exactly. This is what you fix your fingers to type on somebody's page that you don't know? Really? Anyway. Well, not y'all. Y'all are great. Our listeners. Not y'all. But the other people, they're the ones. Anyway, that, any other news that we missed?
Nope, that's all I got so far. But of course, what our poll this week for sure is going to be, do you think that Sal and Kyle are cute? Both of them.
Oh yeah, we can ask. We'll do the one where you can type in the answer. Tell us, do you think if Sal and Kyle are cute? Type your thoughts, let us know. We'll read them on the show next week, and then we'll figure out another poll. But yeah, let us know your thoughts. Thanks for rating us on Spotify. I just looked at us on Spotify the other day. I saw we have 28 five-star ratings. Y'all are killing it. Thank you. I was totally joking when I said give us 5 stars, but y'all did it for real, and I love you for that. So thank you for that. And thanks for always listening and rating and commenting and blah, 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 and engaging with us. We love y'all. This is great. So yeah, tune in next week. We are definitely getting into episode 4 and 5. I think next week, right?
Yeah, if we can squeeze both of them in under 2 hours, we can do it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot we have to talk about. But until then, I'm Lex. She's Jen. We are the Blatchlorettes. Catch you next time.